Today, warning, property weakness ahead will have real world consequences. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. One of this post covering finance and property news. Recently, I've highlighted how the current property dynamics, thanks to higher interest rates and now Labour's decision to introduce a minimum 30% tax on capital gains from July 2027 and abolish negative gearing, has rattled property investors. And I also said, from an affordability perspective, we do need lower prices because it is impossible for wages to catch up, and price falls will also be impacted by the impossibility of building new homes at a price point which is affordable. This is a complex, multifaceted issue. And I note that Housing Minister Claire O'Neill refused to take credit for the decline in prices, a central factor in improving housing affordability. When questioned by Channel 7's Natalie Barr on Wednesday, she said the government's changes, Nat, are not what's driving house prices in our country. Principally, we want sustainable house price growth. Sorry, Claire, that is, in my view, an oxymoron. Over the long weekend, total auction listings were down to 1,182, according to the preliminary results from Catality. And actually, we got a larger proportion than normal of results reported, with the true clearance, which I calculate comparing listed to sold, at 40.3%, while the clearance rate based on reported results, which, as you know, is always biased towards successful sales, came in so far at 51.1%, which is still lower than the 54.5% last week or 58.2% the week before. I spot the trend, and yeah, I know it's a long weekend, but nevertheless, the trend is the trend. This week, only 491 properties were listed in Sydney, with a clearance rate of 52.9% and a true clearance of 44.8%. Last week, the clearance was 51.8%, but that was subsequently revised lower to 46.5%, which was the third lowest preliminary clearance rate across the year. Melbourne had 422 listed for auction, with an auction clearance rate so far of 52.3% and a true clearance of 39.8%. Last week in Melbourne, the initial clearance rate was reported at 58.1%, but it was then revised down to 51.9% once finalised, and this was the lowest preliminary clearance rate since June 2021. Brisbane's preliminary clearance rate was 31.9%, and that was the lowest since May 2020. And volumes in the other states were very low, although with one of two listed for auction selling in Tasmania, we got a convergence of a clearance rate and a true clearance rate of 50% there. All of this really illustrates how unimportant these statistics are, despite the media fixation. And I'm less convinced than some, by the way, that these are in any way reliable forward indicators for home price moves, but I guess we'll see. Now, recent data showed home prices fell by 0.9% in Sydney and 0.8% in Melbourne, so that's the end of May, though with rises in some other states, according to Catality. And Morgan Stanley now expects values to fall by up to 10% over the downturn, which would be the largest property market correction in 40 years, they say. And even CBA is suggesting a short downturn in the eastern states. Now, while I have scenarios, including some with more significant falls than that, others that I model still suggest more stable prices. It does depend. Now, I want to make the point that prices were already easing before the budget, and I don't think that the budget changes to capital gains and negative gearing, especially because they're currently grandfathered and still available for new builds, are as material as it's been portrayed. A quick history lesson is relevant here because when the Hawke government removed negative gearing back in July 1985, the then Treasurer Paul Keating declared that the tax perk was not adding to the stock of housing or to the stock of rental accommodation and failed to assist the families who actually needed it. But rents in Sydney and Perth spiked about 30% due to critically low vacancy rates, and the outcry meant negative gearing was then restored 2 years later in September 1987. This is one issue to watch this time, but given the grandfathering, perhaps rents will not spike as hard, although I am getting reports of significant rental lifts for existing tenants being imposed by landlords who who are experiencing negative cash flow yields thanks to higher interest rates and other costs. When negative gearing was removed in the 1990s, over the 27 months that it was removed, Sydney prices for housing rose 15% and Melbourne prices were up 15.8% and Brisbane rose 6.4%. But when negative gearing was reinstated, prices boomed further. Sydney values rose 44.2%, Melbourne 32.8% and Brisbane 52.8%. You have to be aware because there were broader issues in play at that time. Because after the 1987 share market crash, lots of investor demand is likely to have been deflected towards real estate. Plus, of course, we had broader structural drivers like financial deregulation, easier access to credit, and the rise of mortgage securitizers, which really changed the game. Across the ditch in New Zealand, when in 2021, the then New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern abolished mortgage interest deductibility, which is equivalent to the property tax perk, by 2024, median rents had surged by nearly $100 a week. And that prompted the newly elected National Party Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, to reinstate in the investor tax concession. And in fact, though, rents have been falling over there, but due to lower demand from the smaller pool of arriving migrants. And this is true also in Canada, because over there in Canada, a surge in non-permanent residents, known as temporary migrants, drove Canada's record population growth. NPRs rose by nearly 1.8 million between the September quarter of 2021 and the December quarter of 2024, from 1.36 million to a peak of 3.15 million. As a result, the share of NPRs rose from 4.1% of Canada's population in the December quarter of 21 to a peak of 7.6% of the population in the December quarter of 2024. Canadian tenants suffered, with rental vacancy rates falling to record lows and rental growth surging massively. Amid those growing pressures on housing and infrastructure and the political backlash over high immigration levels, the centre-left Canadian Liberal government announced sweeping immigration cuts in October 2024 to pause population growth. The measures included reducing annual permanent resident targets, restricting international students and temporary worker admissions, and tightening asylum and border rules. Canada's permanent residence targets were cut from 500,000 to 365,000 by 2027. And Canada set specific targets for NPRs, including international students, which were the most substantial reductions, by the way, and temporary foreign workers. So by the end of 2027, NPRs are forecast to make up about 5% of the Canadian population, down from 7.6% at their peak. And Canada's immigration reforms have actually proved particularly effective. The population decline in Canada was down 0.25% or 100,000 in the calendar year of 2025. That's the first reduction since records began right the way back to the Second World War. The stock of NPRs fell by about 462,000 in 2025, and the share of the population declined to 6.5%. The impact on the rental market was immediate, with asking rents falling. The latest data from rentals.ca show that average asking rents in Canada have fallen for 19 consecutive months in year-over-year terms. Asking rents in April 2026 were 7.4% lower than in April 2024, although they're still up 21.9% higher than the low of $1,662 in April 2021. That was during the COVID-19 border closure. So back to property price falls. We should note that if prices were to fall, it is the first home buyers who had recently used the government's 5% deposit scheme, or even 2% in certain circumstances, who are at greater risk of falling into negative equity because they have such a small stake in the home at the point of purchase, just 5% at best. And they have not paid off much of the loan to increase their holding. A 5% reduction in house prices would effectively erase the buyer's equity, assuming they just bought. A 10% drop would mean many people on the scheme would owe more than their house is worth. But while negative equity can become a practical problem if a homeowner is forced to sell, maybe because they lose their job or the relationship breaks down, if they are able to hold on to the asset for a longer period of time, first home buyers typically stay at least maybe 7 or 8 years, they should be able to weather the storm. Although in the UK, negative equity has hung around people's necks for much longer than that. More broadly, the RBA estimates a 1% increase in housing wealth translates to a 0.16% increase in the long run level of consumption, just 0.16%. Now, if we assume the reverse is true, a 10% drop in home prices, if that translates to a 10% drop in housing wealth, would lead to a 1.6% drop in consumption, but from levels which are already very weak. And of course, not all households would be equally affected, with many more affluent households being pretty much insulated. I do see disparate results across household cohorts in my surveys. So all up, it seems to me that we do need to look beyond the proposed tax changes and consider the path of migration, especially in relation to rents, and the changes to household wealth regarding house prices when it comes to those property price falls. Yes, for sure, weakness in property prices will have real-world consequences, but we should understand, I think, that there is complexity here. The simple headlines, or frankly political spin, are really not getting to grips with the real issues. So, and beware. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.